evening. Our text today is going to be Exodus 6, 26 to the next chapter, 7 to verse 6. Please keep in mind when I read that this is the word of God. These are the Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the people of Israel from the land of Egypt by their hosts." It was they who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing out the people of Israel from Egypt. This Moses and his Aaron. On the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, "I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you." But Moses said to the Lord, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me?" And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. He shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for the text of scripture you've given to us, for the more sure comfort of the church. We ask you tonight to enlighten our minds and quiet our hearts that we have a better understanding of this. We pray all this in the name of your Son with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I received an invitation from Reverend Cassidy to exhort at South Austin Presbyterian Church, my heart was filled with excitement and joy. Excitement because this will be the very first time I will get to exhort at a congregation other than my own. And joy because South Austin Pres is not just any other congregation. It is the daughter congregation of my home church, Providence Presbyterian. And therefore, it would afford me an opportunity to begin to know some of the people here. To know, meaning to learn more about that person and to develop a relationship with them. And isn't that just life, or at least a big part of it? To know people, to learn more about them, to share a meal with them. Tonight, I've entitled my sermon, "The Knowledge of God." How do people know God? We'll start with a short excursion in Genesis. How do the patriarchs know God? The patriarchs were a period of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they knew God by the name El Shaddai, God Almighty. In Genesis 17:1, it says, "When Abram was 90 years and nigh old, the Lord appeared for him and said, Adi El Shaddai, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." El Shaddai, Almighty God, is descriptive of the all-powerful, supernatural God who is able to subdue nature to suit his own purposes. As God is infinite, exalted beyond our conception, he must come to us before we can go to him. Therefore, the name of God is a key to the revelation of who he is and how we can know him. And El Shaddai, God Almighty, he is opening up the deadness of Sarah's womb, overturning nature, and giving them a son that would perpetuate a line that would lead to a messianic king. How do people in the Exodus know God? We've now come to the second book of Exodus. How do they know God? By the time we get here, though, the knowledge of God was not totally extinguished, but it was in need of another revelation. You see, the Israelites in Egypt were in bondage to Pharaoh, and they worshipped false gods. Joshua, the sixth book in the Bible, he says, when he was exhorting his own congregation for his death, he said to them, "Serve the Lord with fear, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away your gods, which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt." Joshua divinely testifies that the Israelites were in bondage to other gods. Let us continue on with our text. Exodus 6:26-27. "These are the Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, 'Bring out the people of Israel from the land of Egypt by their hosts.' It was they who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing out the people of Israel from Egypt, this Moses and this Aaron." From this text, we can see that God's appointed vessels were Moses and Aaron. And God first appeared to Moses, and he said, "I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but my name Yahweh was I not known to them." In the period of the Exodus, God was known by the name Yahweh. Now, remember, the name of God is a key to the revelation of who He is and how we know Him. In our English Bibles, Yahweh is usually translated as Lord in capital letters. It is in this name that we will know the significance of God when He brings out the Israelites out from Egypt and brings them into His glorious light. What do I mean by that? From darkness to light. It wasn't just a physical bondage. But as man created in the image of God, we were made to worship the true God. But because of sin is so infested in our being, our minds, that therefore our worship is distorted and we worship the idols of our heart. Therefore, we will understand the significance of the name Yahweh when we witness God sending and taking those Israelites out of Egypt into a type of redemption and rest. How do people know God when they hear the name of Yahweh, but they reject Him? They hear the name, but they reject what the name describes. How does God reveal Himself to someone like Pharaoh? Let's continue on with our text here. Exodus 7:1-2. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land.'" Pharaoh's response. Exodus 5:2. "Who is Yahweh that I should obey His voice and let Israel go? I know not Yahweh, neither will I let Israel go." Pharaoh contemptuously derides God, derides the servants Moses and Aaron, and derides His name. Now, Pharaoh had an extravagant devotion to his idols, and therefore he had an immense ignorance of the true God. But God will not be mocked. He will not give His praises to graven images. Every knee in heaven and earth and under the earth will bow the knee to God. Pharaoh's answer will be answered by God, and Pharaoh will come to know the true God. Exodus 7:3. "But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. In Romans, the Apostle Paul gives an inspired commentary on these events, and he says in Romans 9:21 about the sovereign potter, "Hath not the potter power over the clay to make of the same lump one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" And in the same chapter, he says, "The scriptures said to Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in you, that thy name might be declared in all the earth." What same purpose? What same purpose? God, the sovereign potter, he could have surely softened Pharaoh's heart. It would be done. It'd be game over. The Israelites would be set free. Or Almighty God, he could have just lifted the Israelites out and it'd be all done. But for this holy purpose, God has decided to harden Pharaoh's heart. This Hebrew word, hazak, is translated as hardened, but also can be translated as strengthen. Therefore, God will strengthen Pharaoh's heart so he will be able to endure the signs and wonders that are about to decimate the land. The name of God is the key to the revelation of who he is and how we can know him. Because Pharaoh will not listen to God, God will make his name known by signs and wonders. Therefore, in frightening fashion, Yahweh unleashes the forces of chaos upon the land and also upon his pantheon of false gods. Exodus 9:14 says, "For I will at this time send my plagues upon thy heart, upon thy servants, upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth." So when he sends the first plague, he turns the Nile into blood. That is an implication against Kunim, which is a god, the creator of water and life. Then God sends the pestilence of the frogs, and that's against Hecate, a goddess of childbirth, portrayed as a frog. God will send a pestilence against the cows, and that would be against Hathor, a goddess portrayed as a cow. When he brings darkness, it would be against the deity of sun, Horus, and can go on and on, but by the time he gets to the last one, the death of the firstborn, that would be against Osiris, who is the judge of the dead. Now, in Exodus, these gods are not explicitly mentioned, but there is a text that generally mentions it. Exodus 12:12, it says that, let me find right there. "For I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn, both man and beast. And listen, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh." I am Yahweh. Pharaoh's arrogant reply, "Who is Yahweh?" will be turned into a song of praise. When the Israelites are exiled from Egypt, they will sing the song of Moses in Exodus 15:11. "Who is like unto you, Yahweh? Who is like unto you among the gods? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders." This Exodus was a type of redemption and rest. What does this have to do with us? We who live in 2021. The New Testament is completed. We have the complete Bible in our hands. Now, though the Old Testament prophets, they gave an adequate knowledge of God, adequate for salvation, yet it is in the New Testament that Christ has fully declared who God is,
In John 1:18, it says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Our Lord Jesus Christ has fully declared a redemptive knowledge of God. In his person, in his work, and even in his signs and wonders. You remember when Christ turned the water into wine, his first miracle? That's reminiscent when Moses turned the Nile into blood. When Christ raised the nobleman's son up from death, it's kind of like effectively overturning the curse of the firstborn. Now, though Christ did these signs and wonders to testify of his deity, the Jewish leaders, they denied him. Though Christ pleaded with them in John 10, he says, "If ye will, though ye believe me not, believe the works, and know and believe that the Father is in me and I in the Father." But the hearts were hardened, just like Pharaoh. Though Pharaoh let the Israelites go, these Jewish leaders crucified the Son of God, and they committed the most heinous crime in the history of mankind. But they will also know God. God will not be mocked. He has appointed a day when he will judge the living and the dead. But the grave could not contain Christ. And the third day he rose again from the dead, spent 40 days on earth. Before he ascended to the Father, he gave a new revelation, a new name, the Trinitarian name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he gave this name to his disciples, saying, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." This Trinitarian name is the supreme revelation of God, because by this name our salvation is made possible through the love of the Father, through the work of the Son, and by the agency of the Holy Spirit. This name has been given to the church to gather the saints in this life and to the end of the world. So how are we made partakers of this redemption? We are all dead in our sins. We deserve nothing but God's wrath and curse. But God loved his people from the foundation of the world, and he made a covenant of grace with his Son. He sent his Son in the fullness of time, born of a woman, and he was crucified. But he fully satisfied the justice of the Father. He took the payment for our sins, rose from the dead. And the good news is that those who are given the gift of faith by the Holy Spirit will reign with Christ, will partake of all his benefits, including everlasting life. This new Trinitarian name is the supreme revelation of our God. Christ here, he is the true Exodus. He's the true Redeemer. He's the King. He's the only way, truth, and life, and he is the only way we can know God. I would like to conclude this exhortation with one of my favorite verses, John 17:3. "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." All praise the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us pray.